Hi, Stanley.
Hey, Jerry.
How you doing?
Doing okay. How are you this beautiful morning?
I'm doing good. Wondering if there's a delay.
What's that?
It sounds like you're answering me like 10 seconds after I talk.
Oh, there might be a delay.
No, you're kidding me. Why would there be a delay?
I don't know why nothing works anymore, Jerry.
You're fucking with me. All right. Stabloid.
Good morning. Good morning, Jerry. Hey.
We are here today after, by the way, a long delay since our last podcast, owing to several personal tragedies, which we won't get into.
That's right.
But today we're discussing your pick. Why nothing works.
Why do you say it like that?
Well, I always like want to make sure people understand, you know, who's picking what. Sometimes I traditionally have. Yeah, well, why nothing works, who killed progress, and how to bring it back, which the publisher definitely made him add that to it. It's a lie. By Mark J. Dunkelman. Who is a research fellow at Brown University's A. Alfred Taubman Center for Public Policy and American Institutions, and a senior fellow at the Clinton Foundation.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. You
know, I get it.
Checks out.
Yeah, I had no idea who he was.
Yep. I had no idea until a few minutes ago when I looked that up. But it checks out. So Stabley... I did not dislike this book.
Okay.
I can even say I enjoyed reading it. I learned quite a few things.
I was wondering what you would think of it.
Yeah.
It seems more, it's more of your ex-life,
mm-hmm.
say. Whereas I'm unfamiliar with these things. So I was more curious with what you thought than what I thought, which is...
What's funny, I was more curious
about
what
much.
You thought than what
oh,
I
thought. Oh, okay. Oh, my so
this,
God.
This works out beautifully. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what did you think, Stanley?
Listen, I guess it does a decent enough job of going through the first part of Who Killed Progress, libs. Right. I don't know. At the very end, he kind of mentions how to bring it back.
He gestures towards he gestures. Possible.
Yes.
But there's even a paragraph that I highlighted somewhere where he says, I have no answers. There are no answers.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yes. It's this full circle progressivism is the answer.
Right.
Yeah. So, I found parts of it interesting. He is a progressive of a sort. Mm-hmm. And most of the book is a history, right? Of various, kind of a history of the progressive movement, but more a history of like progressive politics. Yeah. Not like a lot of social history or any of that. Just a history of like progressive policy to-dos. And that was interesting, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's going to be one-sided, blah, 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 like all of these things are, right? This mm-hmm. is a popular book. It's not supposed to be an academic history. Mm-hmm. So that part was kind of interesting.
And he's very upfront about it.
Yeah. This is a book for progressives.
Yep.
It's maybe an attempt. Well, like there's two things going on, right? Like he wants to... get progressives to recognize that it's not just all racist country bumpkins voting for Trump, although there are those people there too. There's a problem with progressives and or progressivism as it's currently practiced. And then he kind of wants to offer a solution, I guess. But more of I think he wants to offer a vibe, which we can get into. So that's kind of the goal of the book. It's, again, largely history of like policies and not even politics really, right? It's just kind of like this thing was passed and then this guy said, let's go take them to court. And then this legislation was crafted Well, and then it all blew up.
I think it's like, I think he will, we always do this to the reader. We always, the reader, the listener, we always talk about the book and what we think about it before we tell them what the fuck the book is about. So yeah, well, don't worry. Hang in there.
That's what they want to know.
You're going to get the Cliff Notes in a minute.
Yeah.
But basically, okay, well, he's got a thesis of what went wrong. And then he basically goes through history, selectively picking, chapters in history that illustrate his point or make his point or prove what he's saying, right? Yeah. And I don't think it's, it is literally cherry picking, but I think it's totally the way he does it. It's fair. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, he picks big targets. He doesn't talk about land use reform in Oklahoma.
Right.
And that's how he got Trump. It's like, no, there's housing and just the New Deal state and New York City and California.
Yeah, and the Civil Rights Act, right?
The Civil Rights, yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes after big juicy targets, I guess. Provides a fairly journalistic account of how, who, how, when, where, why, all that. Again, like you said, to back up his thesis. And then he moves on to the next chapter and does the same thing
again. From a different angle. It was repetitive, sure, but not in a bad way.
I feel like he thought he was there was some sort of uphill climb towards a point. Mm-hmm. And I guess there kind of was, but it was a very shallow incline. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, if we want to, do you want to get into specifics, Jerry?
Well, let me first tell you what I thought of the book.
Yeah.
And keep the listener at bay. As I was reading this book, I was a little, not frustrated, but I kept being like, oh, so this guy is basically unknowingly reinventing the rise and decline of nations by Manser Olson.
Sure.
I'm like, have you fucking read that book, bro? Like, are you aware of this? Like, you know.
Marty.
But then it's clear, he kind of becomes clear that he's aware of that book. I checked, there's no reference to it, but he does name check Jonathan Rauch and Demosclerosis, which it's literally Jonathan Rauch trying to write a popular version of, Manser Olson was an academic text. So he's clearly aware of it. And then as I went through, I kind of settled on, actually, this is not a rehash of Manser Olson. It's kind of a different angle, a little bit of a different angle. So whereas, and maybe this will be a nice segue to the thesis, whereas Manser Olson kind of blames interest groups, period, it's interest groups and it's the accretion of laws. This guy is more about, it's the process, which these things are not incompatible. So I think this is kind of additive to what Manser Olson is saying. This guy is basically saying it's the process, and he goes into the reasons. This is more micro. Manser Olson's very macro. This is more micro. So in the U.S., the way we got to what Manser Olson was saying, was this Jeffersonian impulse, blah, blah, blah. So. Did you think of Manser Olson when you were reading this book? Because it's just all I could think of.
Manser Olson, but just public choice in general, right? Because that's a big book. Not a big book. It's a book about big ideas. And, you don't have to go to there. You don't have to go there to notice that he's missing out just public choice in general.
Right.
And, even to say public choice is to kind of be, I don't know, a little hoity-toity. It's just are you aware of just incentives?
Right.
You know what I mean? They wrote about this in the Federalist Papers, just faction and, self-regard and ambition, checking ambition and all of these things. You don't even have to be an American founding father worshiper to realize that, sometimes bureaucrats do things that are not in the public interest. You don't have to be that smart to realize that's what's happening. He does say, he talks about those things, but still it's kind of that's a huge thing. And none of your, there's no addressing it at all. Yes. Not really. And that's a, I mean, this goes to the whole problem.
That is a big
the book is yeah. like, well, that's your whole philosophy is, or right. political theology is completely insane because it's never going to work. So you can't actually fix it. But that's like, you know, that's the big problem I had with the book is that he's a progressive and he's wrong and none of this will ever get fixed because you can't do what he wants to do. But that I don't know if that's really fair.
No, yeah. I mean, I agree. I think the big hole in his, and we'll get to it like within a minute, I promise. The big hole is basically his solution is ultimately, well, we just need to find a balance. And that betrays that his whole frame is the unconstrained view, right? Yes. And if that's your frame, like you're blind to the idea that, hey, some of the things that you're pointing out have no solution. It's always going to result in this, you know, an abuse of some kind, right? So, all right, so let's get to it.
Yes.
What is the thesis, Stabler?
Okay, well, the thesis is that progressivism is, one, great, but also, two, has two separate wings or pulls or vibes or ideologies.
The coin with two sides.
The coin with, as opposed to, anyway. yeah. And one is, I'm not sure how, whatever, he comes up with these labels, right? Jeffersonian, which I guess is pushing power down to the individual further and further away from, you know.
Very skeptical political, of.
Yeah, skeptical of centralized power. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Hamiltonian urge, right, which is push power up, give it to experts, centralize it top down. And progressives don't realize, most of them, that the movement and even the same people within the movement have those two urges at the same time. And if you don't realize that you have these two urges, you can't reconcile them, and you're going to swing wildly between the Hamiltonian approach to governance and the Jeffersonian approach to governance, often at the same time, at great cross purpose. And when that happens, you muck up everything, and the gears of the state grind to a halt, and the government looks incompetent, which forces people to vote for Donald Trump. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of it, right? Like, it is not just a conservative lie that the government is often incompetent and incapable of doing very basic things. But, you know, that's something that progressives have to own. It doesn't mean you have to become a conservative. It just means you have to realize, like, this is this is what's happened. You can still be mean about Donald Trump. We just have to fix up and everyone will vote for us again, like they did for FDR.
Right. And so,
yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah. And so, like, the subtitle of the book is Who Killed Progress and How to Bring It Back. Okay. So, and that implies that it used to work, right? Progressivism used to work, and government did amazing things, and now it no longer does. And how do we get back to that? And what he points out through his different historical examples is, and the first one he uses is Robert Moses, which is kind of a touchstone he comes back to throughout the book. It's like Moses is like a stand-in for the Hamiltonian perspective. So basically, it used to be that whether it was Robert Moses in New York, or whether it was the interstate highway system or railroads or, you know, whatever else.
TVA,
very good example, right? You'd give like one guy power to do whatever the hell he wanted. And he would like build amazing infrastructure, right, or accomplish whatever amazing progressive projects. But it turns out that on closer inspection, this person ran roughshod over all kinds of individual concerns, right, and local concerns. And the case, and Moses is a good example because he's so hated now by progressives, modern day progressives, because he destroyed black neighborhoods, et cetera, et cetera. And so he's like, oh, whoops, you know, that works. But you know, you can't give these guys completely unchecked power. Of course. And so the Jeffersonians saw this, but unfortunately they overreacted and they overcorrected. Where so now, all, you know, anybody with in quote unquote power is no longer in power. They're just a powerless bureaucrat, because there are so, you know, so many different checks were put in place and veto points were put in place, you know, from regulatory impact statements to community, you know, what's the word?
Community like input, yeah.
Input stuff.
And, stakeholders, you know, Jerry, we got to bring them all in.
Stakeholders, what do they have in California? Those amendments, what are they called? Voter initiatives.
That's right.
Recalls. You know, so many of these things were put in place, and that, and then you get to go to the, you know, the APA, by the way, the Administrative Procedure Act. And then once even you exhaust all of those, you can just find a missing comma in any of those and go to court. And that's another 10 years, right? So much has been placed and now nothing gets done. So basically we overcorrected, and that's why we are where we are. And how we get back is by, he never quite says this, but he says we need to go back towards centralization. We need to go back towards Robert Moses. And to get to the punchline, he doesn't have, he's like, but of, he kind of recognizes if you give power to one guy, he's going to abuse it. So how do we prevent that? And, you know, his answer is, we just need to do it judiciously.
Yeah, just do it right.
Just do it right.
Yeah. Oh, oh shit. Oh yeah. No.
Yeah.
Just be better. Hey, be better. Thank you.
Be best.
Be best. No, be best. Oh, wow. That's, listen, I don't want to be mean, but like, yes, it like I kept waiting. So like, what's the one weird trick? What is the, what are the constitutional or political arrangements,
right,
you're going to create that will both prevent abuse of power but allow things to get done,
right?
And that's the allow things to get done. I'd like to go back to that later. And there really isn't one. At the very, very end, like whatever the ending chapter is called, I already forgot, the concluding chapter, you know, there's some like talk of like drug courts or immigration courts, right. Just like special courts.
Executive courts,
basically. Yeah, sure. Executive.
By the way, the thing that Donald Trump and this Supreme Court is like systematically dismantling right now, because it's completely unconstitutional.
Well, the Constitution is not. Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, it's not a. It's not a suicide pact, Jerry. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, well, I guess. I mean, are people happy with the way that? Like, I thought those were also completely jammed up and not working very well. But whatever. So anyway, there's some discussion of like, here are things that have been set up that do allow essentially one person to just say something and do it. And it, again, like strip everything away. It kind of comes down to, we're going to let 1 to 5 people, let's just say it's a committee, make these decisions, and they will listen to what you have to say, but only for so long. And for so how long is, as long as they want to, and then they do the thing. But like, I don't understand how that's different from before. I understand that like maybe Robert Moses was an especially like psycho person, but I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what kind of people would be attracted to being put in charge of like, I don't know, fixing the Mississippi River or whatever. It's probably a Robert Moses type person that thinks that they're, you know, good enough to do something like that. Call me crazy. I don't understand how that is a solution at all. And then if you try to inevitably fix something like that by bringing in democracy or voice or more Jeffersonian, you know, solutions, because now Robert Moses is in charge of the whole Mississippi River and St. Louis has to be flooded for the greater good or whatever, you're just back to the same problem.
Right. And it seems to me like the dichotomy he sets up is it's either Robert Moses,
yeah,
or it is a referendum. right? It was complete democracy and also an APA with lots of where the public or anybody can object and go to court, whatever. Right? So it's either one of those two. Almost as if we didn't have a constitution that was originally designed to be representative in nature, where you had Congress, right? And half of Congress was like two steps removed from the voters, right? And given, anyhow, it seems to me, I mean, sorry to be a normie, and I think maybe just a modernity modernity is too long, but just the modern environment doesn't allow for it. But what we should get, quote unquote, back to, I think, is the original constitutional order, which I think might get us more of what we want.
Well, let me push back. Let me play Dunkelman's advocate here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What does that mean at a practical level of?
You'd be doing a lot less.
Okay, so the beautiful city of town, village of Hillsboro, mm-hmm. in Orange County, North Carolina, mm-hmm. Bucky's wants to come in. Just to pick a random example that doesn't infuriate me at all, the amazing gas station lifestyle chain from Texas, Bucky's wants to come in and build a glorious temple to America on wasteland by the interstate that already has a gas station.
Yeah.
And the local exurban wine moms catch wind and drag the process out so long that Bucky's is like, F you, we're moving it 3 miles down the road into a different county. And you will lose all that tax revenue. And like the 400 people we were going to hire in your county, we're hiring all of those like poor underprivileged people from the next county over.
Right.
How does, get fixed?
I hear you. I heard, Michael Brenton Doherty, friend of the pod. Recently, give a great answer recently. Where he was asked about, you were talking about Ukraine, right? He was asked
the Ukraine,
and he was asked, so what would you do?
Yeah.
And he started his answer by saying, well, I would, first of all, not start here.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
No, yes.
I wouldn't be here. That's what I would do, is not be here in the first place. Right. So I hear you. Right. My point simply is that if this guy's looking for a constitutional scheme, or if you are looking for a constitutional scheme, you're hoping he would give you a constitutional scheme. It seems that he misses in laying out like the alternatives. The alternatives to him is either complete democracy or complete authoritarian control. Right. Yeah. And I'm like, well, but hey, you remember we had this thing that was amazing for its time called the Constitution, and the way that it was set up had enough democracy to get public input, but boy, it was removed from that insanity. And it had enough checks and balances that, right? But we slowly dismantled that, right?
Yeah.
That's my point.
Right.
So I don't, so we're fucked. I guess I'm agreeing. Yeah.
Well, I guess what I would say, right, is what happens is those places die.
Yeah.
California has to like,
listen.
Stop.
The rise and decline of nations.
Right. Sure.
This is his point.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I only push back because I think when people say like, well, we'll return back to the, it's like, well, you know what that means, right? It's like people will keep doing this, but like there will actually be consequences, and your town will just wither. And like whatever town he mentioned in Connecticut, that is like 35% green space now, and no one's built anything in like 50 years. Well, that place is probably close to like New York City, and it's just like a nice bedroom community. But, you just stagnate and die. And are people, even constitutionally minded folk, ready for that? Like, are people willing to bite that bullet? But like, it's kind of like, well, you've decided to do everything. Like, going back to him, you've decided to let the government be in charge of every goddamn thing.
Right.
And not just like, we're making zoning decisions, like, fine, maybe you have to, right? Because I'm not even sure about that, right? Like, but let's say you've decided to go down that road. but you can't just say like, well, we're going to have like a plan and we're going to like do it this way. Like, leave me alone. We're not doing any special cutouts for anybody. No, we're going to like, first we're going to go corrupt. Like, of course you would. And then to fight the corruption, you don't just say like, well, let's just rethink this crazy plan because it literally doesn't seem to work. No, we're going to let you sue for eternity to keep anyone from doing anything. And still, the answer can never be like, maybe we're just doing too much. Like, it just doesn't work. It just, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with it. It's just like, at the end of the book, it's just like, it's completely hopeless. it's just like, the answer is like, just not just, it's not dictatorship, but it'll just be like, well, it's just going to be narco tyranny. Right. We're just going to let a guy in a robe with a wig, I guess that's not here, but like maybe they have wigs. We'll give them wigs. They're just going to decide.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I guess that's an answer. I'm sure that, you know, court politics wouldn't possibly rear their ugly head. That never happened. it was just, I'm so frustrated with the book. So long.
Really?
Yeah. Because I could see where it was heading, right? Because there's no nod to like, well, you know, the other thing that maybe we should think about is not doing it this way.
Right.
It's like, no. There's of course, we need to create a state powerful enough to build homes and fight prejudice and let every flower bloom. And it's like, why does the state have to be like, every example you've given is like, they can't build houses, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they can't. That's the other thing is like, I'm going to go back to the thing I want to talk about, doing things.
Right.
It's actually easy to do things. You just do the thing, whether that thing is worth it, whether the TVA was worth it or the expressways that what's his face built are worth it. Like, that is kind of the question. It's never addressed, right? It's just like, well, obviously the best way to figure something out is to let disinterested bureaucrats think about it. That's where this guy is coming from. I mean, I assume he's a wannabe disinterested bureaucrat. There again, he's a progressive, I get it, but like, there's no nod to like, well, maybe like the profit motive will play some role in this. It's like, no, we can't possibly do that. Like, you know, if developers want to build affordable housing, we certainly have to let them. But it's like, why does it have to be there's never just like housing. I mean, maybe, right? But almost always it's not let them build houses. It's like, no, well, they have to build affordable housing. And it's like, well, there's your problem right there. It's like, you just insist on telling everyone what to do all right. the time.
Right.
I don't know. It's,
but here's okay. But to, so I completely agree with you to be a little bit more positive on the book.
Please do.
Given that he is a progressive, right. And is in the same big tent as Bernie Sanders. Right. And it's because they both share the unconstrained view. At least it's refreshing that this guy understands some of the constraints. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least is at least bumping up against to them and trying to think about them, right?
Well, let me ask a question.
Like, I'd rather have,
yeah,
you know, I'd rather have President Clinton than President Sanders, right?
Sure.
That's it. That's so that's but, positive, right? Like, this is all part of the, you know, abundance.
Right. So I thought.
Tantrum that is happening in on the left these days. And that's, you know, that's good. You know, sure. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you not want President Sanders because you don't think that the way he balances the Jeffersonian versus the Hamiltonian urge within the broader progressive movement is going to be unbalanced in one way or another, or because you're not a communist retard? Right? Because like, you know, like the commies built massive bureaucracies and they got things done. Like, you want to build a steel plant in the middle of like some garden somewhere, they'll do it. Don't worry about it.
Agreed. It's both. But right. But that's my point. Is that it's both.
Right. So like, this movement is going to be used to build more affordable housing near you, which will turn into a gangland, right? And they're not going to fix that that problem because they don't want to. I'm just kidding there, right? But like, there is that problem of like, what are you trying to get more better at exactly? And I'm not sure that's even a good thing in the grand scheme. It's like, what are you trying to do? Build more affordable housing? Well, how about just build more housing? It's like, well, you know, I'm sure we'll get around to it once you're completely surrounded by, you know, Afghani illegal immigrants or whatever the flavor of the day is. It does make me a little nervous that like they are still like proto commies, despite all of that. And like I'm sure people in Stalinist Russia and Mao's China realize that like, oh, this thing that we built doesn't work.
But Stanley, I guess the thing is, I totally agree with you. I think you misunderstand me, or I think you understand me. I think you just hate these people. What I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to put a little positive spin on this. Is
no
I think I can work with this guy.
Yeah.
Whereas Mandani or whatever his name is, right, who wants to have government supermarkets in New York City, okay, I think he's unreachable, right? Whereas this guy, I think, you know, you could work with, you could get somewhere, right? You could maybe get him to approve just housing, right?
Mm-hmm. What makes you think that?
I mean, I guess I don't
I don't want to be just a stick in the mud. It's just like that's a separate conversation from like what the book is trying to say. This is just my venting my spiel against.
Yeah, yeah. You hate these people, and you think
hate is a strong word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you, and I think we're fucked no matter what. I'm just trying to find the I want to. I guess maybe I'm dumb to do this, but like, I want to encourage this, you know, relative to the alternative, right?
Well, maybe I'm the one who's being a dummy, right? It's like people don't, I don't know. The more I think about it, like the more it seems like people don't do things because they don't do the right thing for the right reason. They will do the right thing or close enough to it for wrong reasons. Or just different reasons, right? Like you're not going to reform this bureaucracy because you want it to be more efficient and the consumers to be better off. You will reform it either for political reasons or because it is so catastrophically broken
that
it is bad for you politically. So you will make moves in the correct
direction. I totally agree, but yeah. I think the day that the thing is on the verge of collapse and we're gonna fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point it can be fixed one of two ways, more than one of two ways or different ways,
sure.
But it can be fixed. And I'd rather have somebody who to work with that can fix it better than somebody else. You see what I'm saying?
I think you, no, I'm not going to say what I think you, because you said what you think. Yeah. I would be more concerned. I would be concerned that there's the goal that you have and there's how you get it. Right. And, I don't know how different some of these people's goals are. Now, obviously there are just people that are like, want to, you know, nationalize the means of production or whatever. Mm-hmm, and it's like, mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's probably worse than just like building a dam to provide electricity to poor people, I guess. Right. Right. But I'm not sure progressives right now are, you know, just there to like help the little guy, right? They have a definite unconstrained vision of like what is supposed to happen and whatever, right? But yeah, I mean, in general, you want people, you would rather have somebody that like wants to get more done, I guess, than the opposite. So, but like, I don't know why Mandami would disagree with anything in this. He would be like, yeah, of course. Like, I should be the one in charge.
But it's not about getting more done.
Yeah.
Right? Well, but no, but this guy.
But it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying. But, but this guy, I think, is more about, let's talk about the process. The process is broken.
Yeah.
And the process is broken, right?
Sure.
And he's like, we need to move it back you know, away, back away from democracy towards a little bit more centralization, right? Mandani mm-hmm. would look at that and be like, I completely agree. I ain't to have all power.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas this guy would be like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, that doesn't work either. Right. We need to be like right in the middle, and I will be the one to decide what the right balance is, which is unsustainable. But that to me, at least, it, you know what I'm saying, is somebody who like me and him, I think would probably be a lot closer ballpark wise than me and Mandani. That's it.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Your solution is just exterminate all these people.
No, not exterminate.
Don't say that, Jerry.
That's, I mean, you put them in a place and maybe nature takes its course. And I don't know. What are you talking about? Who? Be quiet or you get sent to the same place. No. I mean, this book is written for progressives, so I don't want to become that guy where it's like, oh, well, you wrote a book for progressives, and I hate those people, so everything you said is stupid.
And that's my point, is that I'm happy that this guy is reaching out to progressives with this message, sure. Right? Because what progressives typically get is just more, you know, this guy at least is trying to tell them, like, hey, guys, do you think maybe?
Yeah, just like that. Yes, I mean that is nice. That's helpful. I would hope that it's not completely used for purely progressive ends. I guess it will be because these are progressives. But I mean, as far as it goes, right? As far as like what he's describing, it makes sense, right? Like, just go back to like what the point of the book is. It's a constant yo-yo. It's a seesaw. It's a whatever. It's a whiplash between these two modes of governing, and neither one.
Or is it a ratchet?
That's another thing I kept thinking about is
rise and decline.
Yes. something else you can say is, and we've touched on this. It's like the bootlegger and Baptist problem, right? Just to go back to public choice again, it's like it's not like, was this all actually done out of the goodness of people's hearts? Right. And it obviously wasn't. And he kind of touches on that whenever it gets into like racial stuff. Mm-hmm. He's more than happy to just call everyone a racist. Yep. But when it gets into other topics, like there are people with agendas who are smart enough to realize that if I change the process in this way, I benefit, or whoever's paying me benefits. And those people will still be around, obviously. Right. And that's, again, that's never really addressed.
I think it's commendable on his part. Something I learned that I did not know, but he's explaining to progressives, hey, you know how, what's his name? Chauvin, who killed...
Derek Chauvin.
Derek Chauvin, right, who killed George Floyd. And you guys were all up in arms about how he had lots of reports of misconduct, but he was never fired.
Yeah.
And then this happened. And so that clearly is the police are racist and we're protecting their own and blah, blah, blah. He says, well, actually, it was progressive reforms in the 30s that created all these protections, right? Throughout the country, policemen were being abused by their superiors, and progressive reformers created all, you know, made it basically impossible to fire policemen. So actually,
you did it.
You did this, right? So I'm like, oh, okay. So that's, you know, like, let me write that one down in my commonplace book. but also, I'm, you know, neat that this guy's telling that to his fellow progs, right?
Sure. Like, yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. So he, it's not like he's, this seems like a guy that I could sit at a dinner party with and have a nice conversation, which is different from a lot of other progressives that I've come across.
Sure. Yes. He's very reasonable.
Who I flip the table on.
Well, right. Of course, because he's, you know, he's speaking at your level.
Reasonable man.
He's above it all, Jerry.
Just like you. Correct. Just like,
yeah. He's not getting his hands dirty. Yeah. Ultimately this is, it's all going to end in tears, as everything does. Whatever solutions he has are going to be quickly gamed.
Yes, 100%.
Anything with stakes is always quickly gamed because, like, people are not stupid, and there's a lot of money. You'll figure out something to do, and it's never going to stop until they quit being progressives, I guess. But you know, as a blueprint, as an idea to give to progressives, right, to at least unlock anything, right? Like, any, like, can we just, like, build more housing, or, like, allow electrical power lines, or any of these things, right? That is, more of that is probably better than less of that. So as far as that goes, you know, it's probably a good idea.
Awesome. So you love the book.
Great. I love the book. Now, double A plus, four thumbs up.
All right. Yeah. So seriously, would you recommend the book?
I don't know. It's so long.
It's 250 pages.
It seems longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so. If you're into, like, public policy and want to get a reform progressive view on things, I mean, it was more, I think it's more useful than the other one, which I already forget about. Cybernetics.
Had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. So sure. Like, if you're like a DC swamp creature or interested, or like a bow tie wearing little Reaganite Republican, and you want to, like, peer into the other side, you could do worse. It's not, like, super offensive if you're, say, on the right. Yeah. You don't get called a racist too often. Just enough. Just enough to keep your blood boiling, but it's not so bad. So, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's not completely, like, irredeemable, but
right.
Yeah.
I agree. Would I recommend this book? I would recommend it to progressives.
Sure, it's for progressives.
Like, if you're on the right, I really wouldn't bother. I mean, I guess if you want to kind of, like, you heard us talk about it, you probably got everything you needed. But
if you're interested in what might or might not be happening, because I don't know if this conversation is happening, right? I mean, people write books, so I guess it is.
They're pretending to have it.
Yeah, so I guess
it's happening. Yeah,
I guess there's a bunch of these coming out, well, a bunch or whatever, like, enough of these types of books are coming out now to where maybe this conversation does happen on the left. And if you are on the right and you are opposed to these people or want to work with them, maybe read it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how many people like that exist. There's a few hundred or thousand. So, I mean, read Mansur Olson instead. Yeah.
All right. Well, Stably, next time, it's my pick, and I'm happy to say that it's a double feature.
Mm.
So it's two picks. It's two books by the same author, and this is sort of the get back at you for Huey.
Yeah, it's Robert Caro's book on Moses and his four-part series on Lyndon Johnson, which you're calling a book, yeah.
The author is Mark Schatzker. And the books are The Dorito Effect, The Surprising New Truth About Food and Flavor, and The End of Craving, Recovering the Lost Wisdom of Eating Well. And spoiler alert, the government did it. I will make a Maha Mom out of you yet, Stably.
Okay. I was like, what's a Maha Mom? Okay. I mean, I believe all of it already. I'm set up to believe all this stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Stably, that was lovely. I look forward to seeing you next time.
Sure. The same thing here. We certainly had a talk.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.